Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Rochester, Michigan, and earned an MBA from the University of Michigan Ross Business School, and graduated from the University of Michigan Medical School. She completed her residency in obstetrics and gynecology. In 2014, she became the chief medical officer and vice president of medical affairs at Henry Ford West Bloomfield Hospital. Most importantly, she's a mom. Her name, Dr. Betty Chu, and we're honored to have her as our guest. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Dr. Betty Chu, the Chief Medical Officer and Vice President of Medical Affairs at Henry Ford West Bloomfield Hospital. Doctor, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Great. Thank you so much for inviting me, Jack. It's a pleasure to be here.
Can we start by talking about your mom and your dad and your childhood?
Sure. Well, as I think you mentioned, I'm from the area. I grew up in the area, and we moved here when I was five. My parents, however, are originally from China and immigrated to the United States in the 1960s. My father was a graduate student at Purdue University, and my brother was born in Taiwan. Following their move to the States, my sister and I were born in West Lafayette. And another trip through California, we ended up here because of the auto industry. My dad worked for General Motors, and he ended up at GM as an environmental engineer. My mom worked at home for many years until she decided to go to nursing school. And while we were in middle school, she pursued a degree in nursing, and she worked at Crittenden Hospital in Rochester for many years in the emergency department and in occupational therapy. So she was also a working mom and a professional.
Doctor, what's the biggest thing you learned from mom, and what's the biggest thing you learned from dad?
Well, my father was a quiet man, very thoughtful, very stoic. He was the kind of man who wouldn't get upset easily, but when he got upset, he got upset, and you really would listen to him. My mom, on the other hand, is a very vivacious, energetic, impulsive sometimes person who is incredibly warm and loving and incredibly optimistic about life. So I think if I had to think about characteristics that I learned from them, those would be the things, the balance, the yin and the yang between the patience and the energy of two people, both who are both incredibly intelligent.
How was it you decided to become a doctor?
I really loved science in high school. And as I mentioned, my father in his role as an environmental engineer, he was focused really on caring for the environment through the corporate structure of General Motors. My mother, as a nurse, she really was focused on caring for people. And so that philosophy, I think, carried on to our family. My brother works for the Sierra Club and works in the environmental preservation of the national parks. My sister's a teacher. And for myself, my commitment to the community came through patient care. So my love of science combined with my love of people and my desire to serve the community came out in being a physician.
Why was it you became an OBGYN doctor?
Well, that's an interesting story. I originally was going to be an internal medicine physician, and I really loved geriatrics. I loved taking care of older patients. However, when I went to Michigan for medical school, I also loved being in the operating room. I love surgeries, and I love the fast pace of that kind of activity. Once I did my rotation in obstetrics and gynecology, I found that there was a nice marriage between primary care as well as doing surgery and doing highly technical things. So it just fitted. It fit well with my interests. I love the people that I worked with. Certainly delivering babies is a joy and a privilege that very few people get to experience. So it was one of those things that just came as a natural fit.
In 1995, you started your residency at Beaumont Hospital.
Correct.
And you served there until a year ago, 2014. So you were there 18 plus years. Talk about that 18-year chapter.
It was a wonderful place to do residency. The physicians, the patients, the nurses at Beaumont are very high quality. I was fortunate to be in practice with a gentleman named Brian Torak, who's in practice in Clarkston and in Utica. And we started practice together and grew our practice to include a few other practitioners, two women and two other men. And the time at Beaumont was a wonderful experience for me because of the quality of the patient care and the ability to be able to also pursue other interests because I was in private practice at the time. While in private practice, you have a bit more flexibility to be able to do the things that you want to do, and that allowed me to pursue other interests.
We're talking to Dr. Betty Chu, who, world-class doctor, but most importantly, a mom to Dylan and Aiden. What is a mom, doctor?
Well, first of all, they're going to be thrilled that you mentioned their names on the radio. For me, a mom is someone who constantly has their children in the back of their mind, no matter if they're at work in a meeting or they are driving to the grocery store to pick something up, or if they're at the mall shopping for themselves and they come home with three bags of things for their kids. A mom is a person who doesn't ever let go of that responsibility, no matter how young or old her kids are. So I think that a mom is not only a title, it's a profession, it's a way of life. That's what a mom is to me.
We're talking to Dr. Betty Chu, and Nancy Schlichting, the CEO of Henry Ford, said this about her the other day. Quote, "The best thing that came out of the attempted merger with Beaumont Hospital was us getting Dr. Betty Chu." Your year anniversary is coming up. Now is the time to ask for that raise. And I'm Jack Brasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Crisula, and we're with Dr. Betty Chu. Doctor, you've delivered 3,000-plus babies. Talk to us about the miracle of birth.
Well, the miracle of birth is a privilege to be a part of. The thing that strikes me the most when I walk in a delivery room is how unique every experience is for the mom and for the spouse, for the partner who's there in the room with the patient. The thing that is the most compelling about it is that the impact that you can make as a nurse, as a physician, as a medical student, as a practitioner in the room on that experience by adding a calming, soothing demeanor to the experience. What strikes me too about a delivery is that everybody experiences it differently. There's a lot of anxiety oftentimes in the room. But some couples manage to really pulls them together. That stress and that anxiety, it really pulls them together. You see a father wiping the brow of the mother. You see laughing. You see photos of their children that they're trying to focus on. You see the mother-in-law coming over and holding hands with the daughter-in-law, who she may not have liked that much during that delivery. So it's an experience that really draws a family together. That's what is the most interesting thing to observe during a delivery.
Dr. Chu, what does a mother's eyes say when she first sees her newborn child for the first time?
I think there's a sense of relief. There's relief because it was such a difficult process to go through with an uncertain ending, even though you knew that in your heart that there was a baby coming and everybody told you the baby was going to be healthy. When they first see the baby and they can actually hold it and and kiss it and check out that it has 10 fingers and 10 toes. Moms do that all the time. It's one of the favorite things that you'll see is everybody counts fingers and toes on babies. Even though we have ultrasound, even though we have 3D imaging, and we know that all the parts are going to be there, the simple fact is moms and dads still count toes. And I think that's because they just can't believe that this miracle has come into their lives, and they need to confirm that it's there in front of them.
This being Mother's Day, can you share with us a poem entitled Mother?
I'd be happy to. So this poem is called Mother. Mother, you filled my days with rainbow lights, fairy tales and sweet dream nights, a kiss to wipe away my tears, gingerbread to ease my fears. You gave the gift of life to me, and then in love you set me free. I thank you for your tender care, for deep warm hugs and being there. I hope that when you think of me, a part of you you'll always see.
Dr. Robert Schuller passed about a month ago. Crystal Cathedral, Hour of Power, fabulous speaker for decades. And he often said that the biggest thing that a dad can do for his children is to love their mom. Why?
Well, I think there's a lot of caring and tending that mothers need, but they often don't ask for. So I think that what's important about that statement is that women won't ask for love sometimes. Mothers won't ask. They're constantly giving. The best thing that a father can do, a husband can do, is recognize that their mothers, their wives won't ask, but that they still need to be given affection. They still need to be given love. They still need to be shown appreciation. That's what that says to me.
In April 2014, you leave Beaumont after 18-plus years, and you become the chief medical officer and vice president of medical affairs at Henry Ford West Bloomfield campus. What does a chief medical officer and VP of medical affairs do each day?
Well, my primary responsibility is to ensure and maintain the quality and the safety of the patients in the hospital. I do that through working in partnership with the chief nurse officer, and I do that in partnership with the chiefs of the departments and the physicians and the advanced practice providers that are on staff at Henry Ford West Bloomfield. We also work diligently on managing the patient flow, so that a patient moves seamlessly from the emergency department to an inpatient bed, from the operating room to the floors. So again, it's a lot of working in partnership with teams of people to try to ensure that the hospital is the highest quality and the safest place to be.
The most unique hospital I've ever been in my life is Henry Ford West Bloomfield, the campus. Tell us about the most unique hospital in the world.
Well, it's a beautiful facility, and I invite anybody to come and join us there for a view. It's a place that has a greenhouse that was donated. It's a unique place that grows organic produce that we serve in our cafe, or in our Henry's Cafe that's in the hospital. It's a place that has a beautiful open atrium space with live plants that you can rest while your families are in the hospital. We have a retail area, including a spa and a massage area. But we also have inpatient clinics that service very high acuity and high levels of care, with the neurosurgery clinic and neurology clinic and orthopedics clinics and many other clinics, including women's health. My own clinic is there. So it's a hybrid facility that has an outpatient community focus, as well as very, very high quality and safety care for our inpatients. We have 191 private rooms. All of our rooms are private, and they were developed with careful detail and attention to what a patient and a family would need to promote healing. So when the facility was built, we brought in members from the community to really give us their input on what would be needed to help promote healing. And part of that was having, they said, their families be a part of their inpatient stay. So there's a comfortable area for families to stay if they want to. And we try not to limit visiting hours unless absolutely necessary for our families, so that their families can come by and see them when they're in the hospital.
The campus is on Maple Road, right near Drake Road, 4,500 employees. You walk in, it's like being up north. It's like walking in downtown Petoskey. You've got a dog therapy team of 11 dogs You call it smile therapy. And one of the stars of the hospital is a black lab named Henry.
Yes, yeah. Henry is, I think, our first therapy dog, if I'm correct. And I'm lucky because my administrative assistant, Pat Ward, gets to be the caretaker for Henry. And so I get to see Henry every morning. He comes in my office and gets a cookie, and then he goes on to work the rest of his morning. He works until about noon. He comes on request to patient's room, and he also walks around the facility and stops often to say hello to guests. He is a wonderful asset in addition to the other therapy dogs and the volunteers who bring their therapy dogs into the facility and have really benefited our patients.
You don't have wings in this hospital. You have lodges. Why?
Again, the intent was to really make it feel like an up north experience when you walked in. As you mentioned, when you walk in, you do feel like you're in Petoskey or you're in an up north place. We actually, as part of the architecture, they took some of the architectural structures, including some doors on the cafe that are from a facility up north. There's a lot of stone. There's a lot of natural light. There are fireplaces when you walk in. And therefore, the streets are named Main Street, is our main entryway area, and we have, as you mentioned, lodges instead of units. We have a Chestnut Lodge and a Birch Lodge and an Acorn Lodge. So we intentionally wanted to give the sense or the feel that it was a different experience that you were walking into when you came into Henry Ford West Bloomfield.
You have a demonstration kitchen for healthy living. When I walked past the other day, there were 8 guys and 1 lady, and the course was on how to read labels. Why a demonstration kitchen?
Well, it's recognizing the fact that your diet is intimately tied to your health, and the programs that are held there really do focus on healthy eating. We had one recently for how to cook if you needed a gluten-free diet or if you had Crohn's and colitis. We've had one recently on how to improve healthy eating, such as sushi and other sort of types of foods that are easy to prepare for folks. There's a kids camp that occurs, and the kids camp my kids actually participated in. They came into the DK and they had a session on healthy eating and how to reduce sugars in their diet. So it's been a really great asset to have a demonstration kitchen where people can learn in real time how to prepare and cook healthy foods that will benefit their health.
We're talking to Dr. Betty Chu, and I'm Jack Pasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Crisula, and we're with Dr. Betty Chu, Chief Medical Officer, Henry Ford West Bloomfield Hospital. Doctor, I quote you now, "We focus not only on our patients, but also on their families and loved ones." When you showed me some of the rooms, every room has a couch that's like a bed. Talk to us about how you focus on the loved ones.
Well, as you mentioned, some of it is about the environment. So creating a place that families could come and stay with their loved ones when they're inpatients. The bed in the room or the couch that we have in the inpatient rooms, also in the intensive care rooms, gets linens on it and is not just a typical couch an uncomfortable chair that you would sit on if you were visiting your family member. We have visiting hours that really don't exist, so that a family could come and visit all hours throughout the day. That allows them to reduce their anxiety when they have a patient in the hospital or when they have a family member in the hospital. The other thing that I noticed too is that the space that families can get away from the inpatient environment is lovely. We have a chapel that's set in the back of the lower of the atrium, a quiet space for reflection. The atrium themselves are beautiful with live plants and quiet spaces to reflect. We have an art walkway that you can walk through the hallway and see art. Again, all ways that we focus on the family, recognizing that it's an incredibly stressful time when you have a family member in the hospital. The areas that we've created that are public spaces for families to step away for a few moments from the intensity of having a family member in a sick inpatient room, exist, but also the rooms themselves do allow for that closeness to the family member if the patient and the family member need that sort of intimacy to be able to improve their healing.
Your team, what are you most proud of?
I'm most proud of the nurses, the physicians, the physician assistants, the nurse practitioners, the midwives. Again, there's a laundry list of folks, the clinicians that I work with, who are singularly, uniformly dedicated to doing the right thing, to caring for the patient, to ensuring that the quality of the care that they deliver is the highest level of quality. It is a stressful thing to be a healthcare provider these days. There are lots of pressures on healthcare providers, but I feel like they pitch in and help each other out when they need to, and they are always focused on what's best for the patient.
Dr. Chu, talk to us about the role of nurses today and going forward.
Nursing today has really, especially in the inpatient setting, because the patients have become sicker in the inpatient setting, has become more acute. And what I mean by that is that the role of the nurse has become very integral in caring for sick patients. But in addition, they've been additionally given the task of coordinating the care of the patient while the patient's an inpatient. So you can imagine nowadays patients in the hospital have maybe multiple consultants and might have multiple procedures or tests done. That leads to some anxiety and confusion with the patient. And the nurse is that constant present person there throughout the shift who can counsel and advise the patient on what's happening with their plan of care. In addition to that, they have the additional pressures of making sure they get the medication correct, they get the timing correct, they respond to the patient's needs, they help the patient up when they need to be helped. So there's a lot of pressures on nursing today, and I believe this week is National Nurses Week So it is something that we really, really want to thank the nurses, and I would be remiss if I didn't say my mother was a nurse, so I have a real affinity for nursing. They have a stressful job to do and are certainly appreciated at Henry Ford West Bloomfield for the work they do there.
We're talking to Dr. Betty Chu. You spoke about anxiety a minute ago. You see anxiety and fear every day in the patients and their loved ones. Talk about anxiety and fear.
Well, the thing that strikes me the most, since I still see patients in my office with anxiety, is the hardest part for most families is when they know there's a problem, but they don't know exactly what the problem is, so they don't know what the path is to solve that problem. For instance, a woman who comes in who feels a breast lump in her breast and sees me in my office, and she's had it for a few days, and she comes in to see me. She comes in and I examine her and she does indeed have a breast lump. So I need to get her in right away to have a mammogram done, have an ultrasound done, see a breast surgeon. And that time frame between when she sees me and I'm concerned and the time for which she actually gets an answer to what her problem is, whether it's cancer or it's not cancer, that anxiety window right there is what I think we should all work on trying to reduce that time so that we can reduce the amount of anxiety that patients have. When you think about that in the inpatient setting, the time from when the doctor ordered the CAT scan to the time that you get the answer when you're in the hospital is the worst time for most families because they're waiting for an answer and they don't know what problem is that we're going to have to try to solve. So that's what is the thing that I'm very focused on is how do we improve communication? How do we improve a process so that a patient can go from, I know I have a problem, to I know how to solve the problem with the care team as quickly as possible.
Miracles. Do you believe in them? And do you ever see a miracle?
I have to believe in miracles. I'm a blessed person. I've had a blessed life. I've delivered babies for my entire career. My family is wonderful. I'm very blessed to have a wonderful family. I've seen miracles in the delivery room. Women who, I once had a patient who was 44 who went through 9 cycles of in vitro fertilization and finally had a baby. And that is a miracle. I saw a woman once who, at 48, and her husband was 54, had their first child, that without any intervention, divine intervention perhaps in that one, but without needing any medical intervention to get pregnant, they were able to get pregnant. It's really, in healthcare, you see miracles all the time.
You see new births and you see deaths every day. What does that teach you?
Well, it teaches me, I think, like everybody, of the how fragile life is, how we need to work every day to do the most that we can to help others, how we can never wake up in the morning and take for granted what we have. It teaches me that what my role as a healthcare provider is to try to make those transitions in life as painless as possible. I recently had the privilege of going to a event for the Jewish Hospice and Chaplaincy. These are healthcare providers that spend their time on hospice work, on end-of-life care. And Rabbi Bunny Friedman, who's involved in that chaplaincy, in the hospice and chaplaincy, is a wonderful man who is really deeply committed to the cause of making sure that no one dies alone and that there is a family and a support system around somebody when they're at the end of their life. And that's the kind of work that is really amazing to me.
We're talking to Dr. Betty Chu, who most importantly is a mom to Aiden and Dylan. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything's Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Dr. Betty Chu, Vice President of Medical Affairs at Henry Ford West Bloomfield. Doctor, watching you walk through the campus, it's like they are the stars and you are the nobody. You win their hearts. Why do you do that and how do you do that?
Well, I love people. Probably like you, Jack. I love to hear people's stories. I love to understand where they come from. I'm a continuous learner like you are. And part of walking through a group or being a leader is understanding where people's perspectives are coming from. And for me, I have a natural affinity for people and for hearing their stories. So it makes it easy for me to come through a group of people and learn about them. It's something I love to do. I love to come to work every day. I'm blessed in that I am excited to show up every morning and try to solve problems and hear stories and help people with the work that they're doing.
We met through Victor and Michelle Sirocki.
Yes, wonderful, wonderful couple.
Yes, fabulous. And I had Victor on years ago, and I said about Victor that he's like that Allstate insurance guy, Ed Reamer.
Yeah.
You know, you're in good hands with Allstate. You must drink the same breakfast drink as he does because you have that same feeling that you exude. How do you do that?
I think it's learning from examples like Victor. I was looking at your list, your long list of people you've interviewed. I saw Ann Doyle on there. I saw Sandy Pierce on there. I saw Glenda Price. I saw, I saw folks that I have had the privilege of meeting and working with and spending time with. Nancy Schlichting is a perfect example of a person who exudes her personality in a quiet, calm manner, but it invites people in. Nancy invites people in. And I think that I've worked, and I'm not there yet, but I've worked hard on trying to exude that personality that will allow people to find me approachable. And because if they stop finding me approachable, then I stop learning and I'm not as good of a leader. So for me, that's a really important quality to have as a leader.
Historically, healthcare industry has been a male-dominated industry. What are the benefits of being a woman in the historically male-dominated industry of healthcare C-suite positions?
Well, Henry Ford Health System has a wonderful benefit that we do have a very diverse workforce, and we do have a lot of females in leadership positions. My CEO, Lynn Tarosian, is a role model for women, and I'm fortunate that I get to, again, work with Nancy Schlichting as well. I think that the difference between a female leader and a male leader in terms of understanding healthcare isn't so far apart, but I will say that for myself, having gone through the process of having two children, I certainly understand what it's like to be on labor and delivery as a patient. Healthcare is driven by women. You hear that said over and over again, because moms bring their kids to the pediatrician and they bring their parents to see the geriatrician. So for that respect, I think there is a benefit from being a female executive, because oftentimes we're the ones who are driving healthcare decisions in our own families.
In the past, doctors have been on call and working 7x24. Today, there's more of a life balance, more Monday to Friday, 8 to 5. Talk about that change.
I think it's been beneficial especially for our younger physicians who are looking for a sustainable balance in their lives. I think one of the disadvantages of an imbalance is the impact that it has on your family life. I would say that historically, physicians haven't had the time, perhaps, as much to spend with their families. And as a result, is there some dissatisfaction long-term with that? I think today, if we're going to maintain and recruit and keep the highest quality physicians as a workforce, we need to help them find that work-life balance, so that they can have happy home lives, and those happy home lives will impact them at work and will allow them to have happy work lives, and that will impact the way that they speak with their patients and communicate with their patients when they're not fatigued and tired and stressed because they haven't seen their families for days. So that's an important factor, I think, in going forward with physicians, is maintaining a good work-life balance.
You've mentioned a couple times this evening about a greenhouse. Trevor Johnson is your resident farmer.
Yes.
Why a greenhouse in a hospital?
Well, let me just say Trevor's been a tremendous addition, and not only is he running our greenhouse, but he's got a real deep commitment to Michigan-grown products as well as supporting the Michigan economy in terms of produce. So we have a wonderful farmers market that occurs on Wednesdays that anybody's invited to. It's from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Wednesdays in our common area in the front of the hospital. He also does free tours of the greenhouse on Tuesdays at 11 o'clock and 12 o'clock. You can register online for those free tours.
Henry Ford Health System has a little newsletter entitled Healthy Living, and in a recent issue, you wrote an article, Focus on Women, and you tell them to learn to say no more often.
Yeah, that probably is a personal statement for myself, but it's something that I've come to recognize with a lot of especially the professional women that I see around me, whether that's the nurse practitioner who's taking on a lot, or the nurse, or the administrator, to say no more often. I think that comes again from the desire to help women. I have a real deep passion for helping other women succeed. And part of that comes with educating, training, teaching them some tools that are beneficial or have been beneficial to me in my life. About every 6 months, we'll try to prioritize the things that I do with my time so that I'm really focused on the top 3 or 4 things that I need to do. And when I say that, I don't mean projects at work. I mean prioritize how many times am I exercising enough? Am I spending enough time with my husband? Am I are my kids doing too many activities that we're just running around and we're not actually sitting down at the dinner table on Friday night for Shabbat and enjoying each other's company? So those are the kinds of things that I think are really important for women to do, especially because women tend to say yes to so much that they get to the end of their week and they're running so crazy around that they haven't had time to sit down and enjoy the blessings that they have around them.
The other suggestion you made was get moving.
That's true. That's something I feel strongly about. Despite my schedule and my husband's schedule, the both of us really try to exercise regularly. It is a part of my day. I wear a Fitbit like many people do and make sure I get my 11,000 steps a day, whether that's through walking meetings at the hospital. If I don't get to my steps, then when I get home after dinner, I'll go for a walk or a jog. But usually I'm pretty good. I take the stairs. I don't take the elevator at work. It is something that I'm deeply committed to, is maintaining my health, because I lost my father at an early age. He was 55 when he died of a heart attack, and it's something that I take very seriously.
As our time winds down together, Dr. Chu, what advice would you give to our young listeners?
There's a lot that I would advise. The biggest thing I would say is to be a continuous learner, to be curious, to ask questions. Those are three pieces of advice. They're all tied together. For me, I think what's added to my success is to constantly want to have lunch or coffee with somebody who is willing to sit down with me so that I can learn from them, to ask a patient who's sitting in the lobby or the waiting room, what feedback can you give me and how can we make your stay better? That continuous learning philosophy, whether that's going to business school so I could learn more about business so I could understand what my financial colleagues were talking about, or whether that's learning about Israel so my husband and I, when we went on a vacation there, I would know what we were seeing and viewing, or whether that's learning about a disease so that I can treat my patients better. That continuous learning has really been the foundation of my success, and that's the thing that I would encourage all young people to really stay focused on, is to continuously learn, to continuously try to improve.
Dr. Chu, what a great role model. What a great wife. What a great mom. Keep up the great work.
Thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spoken.